Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You are listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Wednesday, the 14th of July. Middle of the month, we thought we would do our open line for the month of July today, as a matter of fact, right now, as a matter of fact. So if you have some suggestions of programs you'd like to hear from 9 to 11, we are taking your phone calls this hour. Not that you can't always give us suggestions, but today is the day. We do this once a month when you call in and we get to hear everybody's ideas. Could be political. It could be a great book that you've read. Usually nonfiction is what we concentrate on. Could be a follow-up to a program that we did that intrigued you and you wanted us to go in another direction or a further direction with a certain program. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And, well, I guess you could use our email address, too. Sure, if you want to send a message that way. We'll also give you our Facebook address and Rhonda's email, my email, and Chrissy's email. You can well, what's the right word? Triple all of us. What's the word? You send it to three people at once. I don't know. At any rate, you know what I'm talking about. So we'll give you that address as we move on. One line is open right now for the open line, 800-486-8655. And we start with Jeff from Bayfield. Good morning, Jeff.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
I just tuned into the previous program, and I suspect that my comment might have been a little bit more appropriate there, but it's something that I'd really like to say that I've not heard addressed. I've been an NPR listener forever. I'm a healthcare provider and have been for 40 years. I was involved with a pharmaceutical rep for 2 years, and some kind of, and I am very much against government regulation, but some kind of a regulatory body needs to be instituted I've seen things that I couldn't believe in terms of the pharmaceutical industry. The bottom line is this. These people, most of them are women, are paid fabulous salaries. As of 15 years ago, we're talking $70,000 to $90,000 a year to sell their drugs. Whether or not they work is irrelevant. Whether or not they're any better than existing drugs that cost a tenth as much is irrelevant. The only thing that matters is to sell the drugs. And what I personally witnessed was checks being written to entice these physicians. I'm not a physician, I'm a dentist, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that I have been at dinners where there were seven physicians and their wives, and the dinner bill was $2,700.
Oh.
Not to mention, not to mention the $2,000 honorarium paid to the speaker, and these people were selling SSRIs, which is selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. These are psychotropics. The point is that the drugs were no better than other drugs that were one-tenth as expensive. Now, the physicians get most of their information from these drug reps. They've got very little time, and they're under a great deal of pressure. And I don't really fault them. I fault the drug companies. The kinds of money the drug companies are spending to sell their drugs is unconscionable. It's beyond my wildest nightmare. I've never seen anything like it. And consequently, physicians are being given information which is in the very best interest of the drug company, not the patient. And the drug companies will take a pharmaceutical that's about to go off of a patent, insignificantly change one small molecule, which in no way changes the efficacy of the drug. In other words, it's no better than it was.
Right.
But now it's a new drug. Now they have another 17 years to sell it at $185 a month.
Okay. It's a good idea for a show, definitely. We've done the pharmaceutical industry before, but I like what you're saying. I mean, I don't like what you're saying, but I do like what you suggest for a program.
Okay, well, that was it, like I said, and I saw it, and I saw it many times.
Okay.
And the bottom line, and I'll get off the air, is the amount of money these people are spending is unimaginable. And the pharmaceutical industry needs to be reined in to a certain extent, and I don't know quite how to do this, but that's my idea.
All right, thanks, Jeff, very much for the call. I don't think I remember doing a show fairly recently in which it was stated that the industry has not been very carefully examined since the 1950s for whatever reason. It is a good idea for a show, so we'll put our Cracker Jack producers on it. put their thinking caps on, and we'll do a program on that. It's a good idea. Kurt is next from Chippewa Falls. Hi, Kurt.
Good morning. First, I'll second the previous caller's suggestion. I'll go along with that, too. My suggestion would be, lately, the Tea Party reactionaries or whatever they are getting too much press to warrant their what they're doing. And you get the same things being said over and over again with no new information. I would like to see some investigative reporting, not just one program, but a few of them stretched out on the progressive movements, local, statewide, the organizations that are actually taking movements, the ideology, and putting it into action in terms of improving the quality of life for everybody, for calling government excess into the public light, keeping things honest, just all the way across the board, from rural areas, small towns and cities, big cities, all the progressive organizations that are doing good work, and you know, and get off the reactionism represented by the Tea Party folks.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. And if you want to give us suggestions of organizations you know are active, particularly in Wisconsin or anywhere in the world, we'd welcome those. We go next to Bob from Stevens Point. Hi, Bob.
Two quick suggestions. Number one, who is in or what is Code Pink? A second suggestion, and you and all hosts should do this, I would like you someday to let the callers call in and complain about other callers. There are a lot of bad habits that go on.
Well,
and I don't mean bad in the nasty sense. They're just boring, repetitive, time-consuming, and unnecessary.
The callers are?
Good morning. How are you this morning, Kathy? Stuff like that. And people who are not by the receiver. Now, I can tell when you're cueing me to be on the air, it goes, everybody should know that sound. These are regular callers. Get right to the point and let more people on.
Okay, but Bob, it's nice to say good morning to somebody. Good morning. Good morning, Bob.
Why?
Because it's you know, it's morning. It's a greeting. It's
well,
a pleasant
how
greeting.
How about the people that aren't there when you cue them in?
Well, that,
how
sure.
How about the people that don't know enough to turn the telephone down?
I know. That bugs you, doesn't
to
it?
To me, you should immediately go on to the next call. That's what the guy on C-SPAN does. And things like that. The callers who don't stick to the topic... you people know what we're going to talk about. We should stick to that and not go on to why did Building 3 collapse.
All right.
I think you know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about. And I want to wish you a very good day, Bob.
Okay.
All right. Goodbye. Let's go to Ann from Madison. Hi, Ann.
Hi. Well, I kind of agree with that last caller. You know, I think, you know, how are you today is just, well, it said once, but, you know, it said over and over and over again, and it does kind of, it takes a lot of time, if nothing else. But I wanted to talk about immigration, and especially the sheriff, the county sheriffs all over the country have almost unlimited power to do as they like. They can, for instance, report undocumented people who are booked into county jails to ICE, the immigration feds, or they don't have to. And in Dane County, the sheriff, who is Dave Mahoney, automatically does it. It's not done automatically in Milwaukee. It's not done in many places, but he says he needs to do it to keep, and this is a quote, to keep the jail community safe. Even if they're picked up on, you know, very minor charges, I mean, you know, license plate misaligned or, you know, outdated or something. And I would like to hear a program on sheriffs and their relation to the federal immigration authorities and whether they're, because they're kind of free agents, whether they're, you know, whether what they're, whether this is good policy and whether they should be permitted to do anything they please. As a Sheriff Arpaio in Arizona who makes prisoners wear pink underwear and keeps them outside in cages. I mean, you know, there's an article, Jail Policy Rocks Latino Community, in the present issue of the Cap Times by Pat Schneider, and that's a July 14th through 20th issue.
Okay.
So I would, you know, she's really a good reporter, and if you read that article, I think you get some names of people to talk to.
Sounds like a good idea. Thanks, Ann.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. We go next to Marty in Douglas County. Hi, Marty.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi.
And now let me get right to the point. I'm wondering if you'd be interested in doing a show about the Veterans Vietnam Restoration Project.
Mm.
It's an organization that started in 1988. I'm just going to read from the mission statement. It's a tax-exempt organization that sends teams of veterans to Vietnam to reconcile with the Vietnamese and to heal the emotional and spiritual wounds suffered in the war. The team members that go work with Vietnamese people doing things like building vocational centers, primary schools, but really it's kind of equally important, the work that they do there with the Vietnamese people. I saw a film in which about half a dozen vets were there building a school, and their interaction with the children was just heartbreakingly beautiful. But the vets themselves also really go through kind of a very profound, well, not kind of, a very profound emotional and spiritual healing for themselves. It's really an amazing organization.
Yes, we'd be very interested.
Okay, now I've got a phone number, an email, or a website.
Can you send that? I don't like to give phone numbers over
sure.
the air. A website would be fine, though.
Okay, it's VVRP as in Paul, VVRP.org.
Okay.
Great.
VVRP.org.
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. Thanks, Marty.
Yeah, you bet.
Good idea. Bob in Milwaukee, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I'll get right to the point. what's of interest to me, what has been of interest to me, is electric cars. I'm finding that on the East Coast and particularly on the West Coast in California, there's this huge subculture of people who take gasoline-powered cars, usually older, smaller ones, and convert them to battery-powered only. And I'm reading the steps. And my research is showing me that it's not very easy, but it's comparatively easy. It's easier than converting to, say, an alternate fuel or something like that. Yes, you have the most expensive part is to buy batteries and choosing what kind of batteries. But there are kit providers out there that you can buy parts from for the electronic controller and the motor that you need, and you can even go off grid and get like used electric fork truck parts and put them into your car. And the savings in fuel is amazing, and carbon is just amazing. You're only going like a couple of cents, 2 or 4 cents a mile, depending on what you choose to do.
Do you know who understands this fully and would be a good guest, Bob?
I'm sorry, say again, please?
Do you have a guest suggestion? Where should we go?
Well, let's see. Wilderness Auto.
Oh, there we go. All right.
That's a unit that's out, I believe, in Florida. Actually, I think they have a couple of locations. Another one is Electromotive Auto or something like that on the West Coast. But they're all over the place.
Okay.
Strangely, there's not a lot in Wisconsin and Minnesota, the Midwest. I don't know, we Midwesterners like our comfort zone or something. We don't want to try new things. But I'm sick and tired of it. I want to try something new. These gasoline engines can be frustrating and they break down. And I'm hearing that electric cars are as reliable as washing machines. They just keep going.
Well, it sounds like a very interesting show. We appreciate the suggestions and we'll move on it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob. Thanks for the call. Randy in Chippewa Falls. Hi.
How are you today?
Fine. How are you?
Wonderful.
Good.
I was hoping that we could hear a program about detailed financial dealings for the state of Wisconsin. For instance, would be monies paid out for, say, Badger Care. How much money is into the fund? How much money is allocated for overhead buildings? How much is allocated for wages? And how much is actually allotted for the recipients of the program? I don't seem to recall actually ever hearing any information on detailed information anyway to that regard.
Have you gone to their website? I'm sure they probably list that.
Oh, yeah, I am sure that our government would just love us to view the website that they put up for us. I don't know that the information would be accurate.
So how would we find accurate information then? Some kind of watchdog group you're suggesting?
Well, no, I guess what I was suggesting was that maybe your staff in some way could ask, let's just say the Badger Care. Ask them for their information directly.
Okay. Thanks, Randy. Thanks for the call. In a broader program, we'd look at Badger Care. It would only take one question, and Randy's concerns would be answered, but that would be an interesting program, certainly, to look at Badger Care. Let's go next to Pat. And, oh, we got open lines here now. 800-486-8655 is our number, and it's an open line for the month of July. Hi, Pat.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Pat.
Right to the point now.
Bob got something started here, didn't he?
Well, some civil decorum is good.
I agree.
Look, Kathleen, the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, the stakes are very high. Look at all the suffering, both over there and coming back, the people that come back. And I could go on, and most of the people are aware of the price that America's paying and moral authority and otherwise. Would you try to get a guest and maybe even like once a week that really supports those wars so that we can call in and ask questions about that? Because, my gosh, can you think of really, there's a lot of big issues out there, but this is pretty important.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
And in light, too, Kathleen, is notice how often it'll be said, oh, the country's divided about the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. Well, that should mean that it should be pretty easy to get guests that really support it, right?
Right.
You know what I'm saying, kind of?
Mm-hmm.
And so, anyway, Kathleen, it's much harder to call in and ask a question of somebody you disagree with that's respectful and that everyone can understand than it is to call in and say, oh, I agree with this guy. I mean, that's okay, too, but you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I know what you're saying.
And you do a wonderful job.
Thank you. How's your doggy?
I think that's the I want out right now bark.
Okay, Pat.
Okay, he's getting to the point. Okay, bye.
Goodbye. Oh, let's pause for a moment. You're going to get me giggling so I can't stop. I haven't done that for a long time. All right, we're doing an open line for July, and here's how you reach us, 800-486-8655. And let me give you our email addresses as well, because whenever you have suggestions, you may have a tired mind this morning, so you're not thinking about what would be a good show. But we've had some good suggestions here today. Here are our email addresses. It's all the endings are at WPR.org. So Rhonda's FANNING at, and Chrissy's is PEASE at, and mine is Dunk, DUNNK. And we're all at WPR.org. So send your suggestions our way. Anytime you feel like it. More phone calls in a moment. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program today, we'll be talking about books, great suggestions for summer reading. Some of you have already listed your suggestions on our Facebook page, which is so nice. I'm glad you're using that and we can talk back and forth. Our guest will be a bookseller with Fireside Books and Gifts in West Bend, Wisconsin. And we're looking at summertime reading. I think we read different kinds of books in summer. It's like I eat different kinds of foods. You probably do as well. Some of it might be lighter, or maybe you take on the rise and fall of the Third Reich during the summer. I don't know what your reading preferences are, but we love doing book shows and reading books and talking about books. So think about what you're reading right now and what you'd like to pass along in terms of suggestions. Hour number two. Open line this hour, 800-486-8655 is our number. Pat in Rhinelander is next. Hello, Pat.
Good morning.
Hi, Pat.
My idea was to have someone on for aspiring novelists and people that want to write fiction and nonfiction. And I gave the screener a Melanie Ann Phillips. It would be nice to have someone to help with the do's and don'ts, to help with the publishing. You could almost do a whole series on people. And not just not poetry per se, but actually just novels for fiction and then nonfiction.
Okay. Are you writing a book?
Trying.
Are you?
Trying. Yeah, trying. Actually, there's two, but you go back and forth. I also have a comment for the last Pat, the last caller.
Yes.
He was wondering about Afghanistan and Iraq. I would suggest that you do a different take and actually invite some of the soldiers that have been there and get their take on what we're doing and why we're there.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Once you're there, things change.
Right, that's a very good idea. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call. Scott in La Crosse. Hi, Scott.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Hi, Scott.
Let me go turn down my radio, and I'll be back in a while. Can you wait? That's great. Thanks so much. Hey, I got a follow-up for the earlier caller, Bob, and it is this. This very weekend, as part of the Dane County Fair, anybody who attends can get free, as part of the admission to the fair, you get free access to what is known as Green Drive Expo.
Mm.
And what it is every last couple years they've incorporated this as part of the fair. And they have all kinds of people who have hybrids and conversions and electric cars. And this year they're having a whole bunch of, like, the plug-in electrics, just what this guy was talking about.
Oh, really? Great.
So I don't know. I didn't catch where he was from. But the guy who organizes this, if you want to, I told Chrissy, if you want to do a program on this, I can get you the information. The guy who organizes this is a guy named Eric Powers. And he is, you know, a Wisconsin green, you know, electric vehicle advocate and a good spokesperson for the cause. So, you know, if anybody thinks gas is going to stay as cheap as it is right now, should be listening to the report yesterday where they were predicting that by next year, all the burgeoning economies in Brazil and India and China are going to drive demand for crude oil through the roof again.
Right.
And so, you know, price is going to go up whether the United States is recovered and in good shape or not. So, you know, whatever we got to do, I think we got to be thinking about doing it. That's my own humble personal opinion. But Eric Powers is the guy. I'll get Chrissy or you.
Thank you.
You the information. And, Kathleen, I think a good way to do the show like this would be to have people talk about not just electrics as an alternative. But right now, the Volt and the Leaf, which are the two major companies, Nissan is doing the Leaf and Chevy, of course, is doing the Volt. Those are both plug-ins, but they, as I understand it, they require dedicated lines with circuit breakers in your garage if you want to plug them in. And this requires more than just, you know, oh, gee, I'll get an extension cord and plug in the car. It actually requires at least electrician and possibly more work. So I think a whole discussion of what all that means and what people have to do and what it would take to get to make those successful, because right now is a perfect opportunity if people will buy them. But, you know, I don't know, you know, because that could be a lot of extra expense. Once you're done, you're done. But I think that'd be a real interesting discussion to have. And
I agree.
Eric would probably be able to help you with that.
All right. Send us the info.
Sounds
Thank you,
great.
Scott.
Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm. We go to Paul next from Duluth. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Kathleen. And it's comforting to know that you're doing well this morning.
You guys aren't going to let it go.
The very first thing I want to do is I want to thank Wisconsin Public Radio for their very timely weather bulletins from National Weather Service. They gave me a half an hour to get out and batten down the hatches because we've got a big storm blowing through here right now.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Anyway, I want to piggyback on, I think it was your first caller about prescription drugs.
Yes.
I've been thinking about it, and I think the conversation needs to be, I've got two suggestions here, should be expanded to, first of all, advertising, the side effects, information, and the thing that I've found recently is that a lot of the ingredients for prescription drugs are imported, and there's very little control over the quality of those ingredients. So I know you're going to want to do a show on it, but here's the other thing, and this just happened, that the FCC rules regarding indecent language on broadcast media was just struck down. And it reminds me of George Carlin's seven words you can't say on television. And I'm wondering if you could get somebody from a television network or even Wisconsin Public Radio that could come on and talk from standard and practices.
Okay.
And I suppose to talk about how that's going to affect the way you operate going forward now.
All right. Yes, that's definitely worth a show. I don't know if anybody else is on the subject, but that would be interesting.
Yeah, it just seems to me that we don't need any more coarsening of the environment. But I'm just wondering what's going to happen going forward.
Yes, very, and to look at the history of all of that as well. That would be a very good show.
Yeah, a little bit of George Carlin skit would be good.
Oh, right. You just want us to get in trouble. We'd be off the air, honey, in a minute.
I bet you would.
I know. Okay. Thanks, Paul. Bye. Let's go to Greg in Woodruff. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
You guys are doing this to taunt poor Bob. I am fine. And you, Greg?
Well, I'm doing well here.
Good.
In Northwoods.
Oh, you would be.
Well, actually, we have some of that same storm.
Oh.
Way, so we're fine for the moment, but I'm not sure how long that tranquility is going to last.
Mm-hmm.
But, I wanted to call because I'm interested. I'm very disturbed personally. Some other folks who are by the use of predator drones.
Mm, okay.
And it would be great to have somebody on to discuss both the moral implications of sending an empty plane to bomb and kill people and also possibly the military implications. I would imagine that if we can build an empty plane to drop bombs, then so can other people. And, you know, ultimately this could escalate and this, in a way, could be seen as a first step toward a robotic war, you know, of things doing our fighting on, doing fighting on our behalf. And there's also an element of what I see as cowardice involved. It's just, you know, sending out an empty plane, no risk to us, but lots of risk to the people on the other end. And I think that's, I'm really surprised there hasn't been more public outrage about it.
No, I haven't thought about that very seriously, other than to be appalled by their missing their targets and all that. That would be an interesting show for us to do, why we went that direction. And yeah, I like that idea.
Okay.
All right, Greg, thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Dave is next in Wisconsin Dells. Hi, Dave.
Good morning.
Hi.
On the lighter side, maybe once a month, talking about our state of Wisconsin sports teams, Brewers, Packers, Bucks, Badgers, something along those lines during their season, or maybe not even during their season, but once a month, change of pace, something like that.
Right.
would be nice to hear.
I agree. Well, we did soccer recently. We had a great show on the World Cup, and we did baseball because everybody, well, people like baseball. Yeah, it's an intricate game. But I haven't done a football show, I don't think. We've done basketball shows. But once a month, it's not a bad idea. People are interested, and it's on the lighter side. You're right. Sometimes.
Change of thought.
Yes. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we go to Nick in Wausau. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Kathleen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I just have a suggestion for a show that would talk about higher education, specifically this whole movement of for-profit schools.
Yes. Okay.
And it's a huge movement here in Wausau and all over the state, really. And so I'd love to hear kind of just getting some professionals in the field of higher education. I work in higher education as well. And it's interesting how nonprofit schools are closing across the country and these for-profit schools are coming in and buying up these nonprofits. And so it's just kind of an interesting topic to me.
Yes, that is a good show idea. Thank you, Nick. And Barbara is next in Superior. Hi, Barbara.
Oh, good morning. It's very black here. So
is it really?
The skies, it is.
Oh.
It's going to be exciting. But aside from that, on a lighter note, I would like to have something about why the... For me, my own personal interest in music is the anti-establishment, from Woody Guthrie to, oh, my God, Dylan to, I mean, European artists. It seems that that music is enduring, and it provides so much, but it never changes anything in politics. So I guess that's just my comment.
Okay. So you'd like a show on that kind of music?
Well, I guess, and why, like, my personal taste, it is the best music.
Okay.
The messages in there, the rhythms. So I guess that's just my comment.
All right, Barbara. So has it started raining there yet, or?
Well, it's very, very dark.
Oh.
Like, it's around, my goodness, 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, my goodness.
I had to move. I know we're not on the air now. I had to move my plants from the deck.
Oh.
It might be hailing, but it's exciting.
It's exciting.
We need the rain.
Okay.
So there's no much, too much damage here. But I would love that, Kathleen.
Okay.
Here. Yeah.
All right, Barbara.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you so much for your call. Let's go next to Josh from Milwaukee. Hello, Josh.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. You may have done a show on backyard chickens, but I know it's happening in Madison, and I'd love to see it happen in Milwaukee. And so that's one suggestion, and also possibly like headlining Wisconsin-based food producers, smaller businesses, and talk to some of those folks.
Okay. Do you have backyard chickens, Josh?
No, that would be illegal.
Oh, you're in Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee, it would be illegal, but, you know, we'd love to see that happen for Milwaukee.
Okay. Thanks, Josh.
Thank you.
Open line for the month of July is what's happening right now. We're entertaining your suggestions and having a bit of fun along the way today, I might add. So here's the number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. We have not done a show on backyard chickens. I don't know if somebody has, though. I'm getting the feeling that maybe we did. So if you go to WPR.org and search backyard chickens, or maybe I had a dream about it. I don't know, but it's in my memory somehow. Or maybe I had a conversation about it. I can't remember. But look there, and you can look at archives of other people's shows to see if we've done something on backyard chickens. Here's the number, 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. We'll get right to the point with your calls coming up the next 20 minutes on our open line here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Second hour of our program today, we're going to talk about books, suggestions for great summer reading. I love these shows. We do them so we can all get really good book lists, and we'll keep track of the books. Rhonda and Chrissy and I will all try to write down as much as we can and then post that on our Facebook page. We were already having people write in on our Facebook page about suggestions they'd like to give all of you. So I love doing those shows because we like to read. Thank goodness. And so that's our number two of our program. We'll have two guests with us. Daniel Golden will also be joining us from Boswell Books, and Dennis Ulig, who's a bookseller at Fireside Books and Gifts in West Bend. 800-486-8655 is the number. We go to David from Madison next. Hi, David.
Hello.
Hello, David.
How are you today?
I am fine, David. Oh, how are you?
I think the previous caller is going to be in for it with your show today. I'm fine. I'm holding the phone in one hand and putting together peach pie with the other.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm trying to find indoor projects today. So, I was curious if you could possibly do a program on manners and chivalry, possibly the lack of these days. I don't know if it's just a sign of society and people have become introverted and less social because of these computers. Generally etiquette overall. And, you know, sometimes I'm treated very rudely or curtly, and other times people are just wonderful and a joy to be with. Yesterday was listening to the insect show with Phil Pelletieri, and I called in with a question, and folks were very nice, and they suggested the garden walk last night at the Westside Agriculture Research Center. And so I thought I'd go on a whim. And let me tell you what a delight it was. And everyone there, a group of 40 people or so, were so cordial with each other. They had never met each other. And what a joy it was just to be in a crowd of people seeking information and just chatting with each other. And what a joy. So, you know, there are groups of people out there these days that do still entail manners and chivalry, but there are also groups that don't.
Yes.
And I was just curious if you might entertain a show of that.
I think we could fashion a show on that. That would be interesting.
I don't know.
I can think of all kinds of possibilities.
I don't know who would be a guest host. I think her name is Emily Post, if she's still alive. Perhaps you could entertain somebody over the phone lines that could answer some questions.
Yes, I'm sure we could. So who's coming over for your peach pie?
Neighbors later this evening.
Oh, are they?
Yeah.
Oh, David, doesn't that sound great?
Well, I'll try to save you a piece.
But you're in Madison. I'm in Milwaukee.
Oh, gosh.
Well, I know.
That won't work.
But thank you. That was very polite of you.
Okay.
Very generous of you. Thank you, David.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.
We go to Ryan next in Oshkosh. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how are you doing?
All right, how are you?
Good, thanks.
Good.
I thought it would be a good idea if you had an advisor maybe from the Small Business Administration to offer advice and tips, because trying to get something started, it's actually, I find it pretty difficult to find, you know, the avenues that I need to pursue to get done what I want to get done.
What are you starting, Ryan?
Well, just if you have a small product that you, you know, if you're just a normal average person and you come up with this idea for this product, you know, how do you get this thing manufactured? You know, you would think living in a capitalist country, that stuff would be taught in high school or something, but, you know, you just have to ask so many people so many different types of questions before you even find one piece of information that sends you in the right direction.
Yes.
So having a outlet such as your fine show would be great.
Thank you, Ryan, for the suggestion.
Sure, thanks.
Uh-huh. We go to Alex from Appleton. Hi.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Alex.
yes, possibly a little loaded for some people, but I think a very important topic would be the war on drugs and hopefully repealing it. I think the war is the main reason behind a good part of the crime around the drugs. Certainly many of the drugs are bad themselves, but the war is causing far more damage. And I think you could get a spokesperson from LEAP, which is LEAP, Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. I don't have any names in front of me right now. I wasn't expecting this to be the open line day, but and I'm sure you could find plenty of people for the war on drugs.
Okay.
But it seems as though it's the reason cartels in Mexico are starting wars with the Mexican government. And I think we seriously need to look at repealing this and save our country from a lot more crime.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
Tim in Milton. Hi.
Hi. How are you this morning?
Fine. How are you?
Good.
Good.
Beautiful weather.
It is beautiful there, but I guess they're getting really bad storms in the north. Superior, Duluth, yeah.
Yeah, well, we need the rain down south, too. Hopefully,
right.
I've got a couple suggestions for you. The first one would be for home beer, wine, and meat making.
Home beer, wine, and meat making, okay.
Yeah, and the other one would be for Wisconsin natural edible plants and vegetables and berries out in the wild. You know, like people hiking and things like that.
Okay.
Just so many things out there that people don't know what to eat or pick or whatever. So,
well, that sounds like a good show. That's not something that we would probably do. Our show has a little bit of a different focus. But Larry Mueller, if he hasn't done a show on that, I'm sure would be interested in that suggestion, too. So we'll pass that along.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tim, for your call. David in Milwaukee. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
There was an article I read in Wired magazine January of this year about liquid fluorine thorium reactors.
About what? Liquid what?
Liquid fluorine thorium reactors. Thorium is a radioactive element.
Okay.
They're really cool. It's a green nuke. It's not possible for them to go 3 Mile Island. Hmm. And there is nothing left in the waste that is can be converted into a bomb. And it sounds really, really cool. Plus, given thermodynamics, it expands as it heats, and therefore it slows down its own reaction. It was tried all the way through the 1950s, but uranium ran out because of the Cold War. The Soviets were using uranium to get plutonium to build bombs, so that's what the United States did. But I think if we're looking for a good, cheap source for electricity for electric cars, might be a thought.
That might be the place. I'm sorry, you said you read it where?
Wired Magazine.
Wired Magazine.
Mm-hmm. January 2010.
January 2010. Okay.
Yeah, and if you Google thorium and Wired, you're going to come up with a whole list of related items.
Okay. Well, thank you, David. There's something I knew nothing about.
You're very welcome.
Bye. You're very welcome. This is a great show. Everybody is so darn polite. Ron in Blooming Grove. Hi, Ron.
About the time you joined this network, I edited my manners radio civility down to a single six-letter word, thanks. And it saved many hours over the years since then. Please produce a program on peak alert, that is, the need to cut back on electricity consumption on very hot days. Last week, New England, the East Coast, had some very hot weather, and there were concerns about them exceeding the generating capacity and
yes.
the transmission capacity and the distribution capacity of the systems out there. Today, they're talking around 90,
right.
maybe 110 or 100 heat index. So this would be a great day to do one, but do it next week or the week after when it happens again. The rural electric cooperatives in Missouri have been doing this since the 1970s, maybe earlier, and whenever there's a day like today, they ask all of their members statewide to cut back on electrical appliances, the big ones, from noon until dark.
Okay.
That would be big TVs, monster stereo systems, hair dryers, washers, dryers, electric ranges, you know, anything that uses electricity itself, or if it's a gas appliance that adds heat inside your house, like a gas range, please try to cook quickly and gently today. The one thing that plugs in with the person's idea about plug-in cars, once we get more plug-in cars, it's essential that we plug them into timers, special circuits on timers that will recharge them from midnight until dawn. And if you have to take longer than that, then do it from 10 p.m. until 10 a.m., the off-peak time. If we do this, if half of the people in the Midwest do this, we will save ourselves millions of dollars over the next few years. And we only have to be frugal on the hot afternoons and evenings on 5 to 10 days each summer. A follow-up on the fluorine thorium nuclear reactor. I don't know much about thorium, but fluorine is the most strongly oxidizing element in the whole periodic table. Of the 108 elements that exist in nature, A plus ones that we've made, of all of those, fluorine is more strongly oxidizing than chlorine. We occasionally hear of people being poisoned, severe lung damage, when they have a chlorine gas leak at a swimming pool or somewhere else, or a water treatment plant. Well, fluorine is even stronger than chlorine. The thorium I assume the fellow is correct, that thorium cannot be made into a nuclear bomb, but it can be used in a nuclear power plant. But if we're using tons of elemental fluorine, not the fluoride that has already been changed, the fluorine is a much greater danger to human health than the thorium would be.
Okay. Thank you, Ron, so much for your call. Gene is next in Decorah, Iowa.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey, basically my idea is to have a week-long discussion with three different age groups discussing. The first day would be the next 2 years. The day after that would be the next 4 years, and on up. So by the end of the week, you've went out to 10 years. And every day, you'd have a different group of three people, you know, age 20 to 80. And every day, they have a different specialty or whatever, and they break out what they think is going to happen in their, you know, year time frame.
Well, that's an interesting idea, Gene.
I think everybody's terribly interested in what's coming in the future, you know, the economy and everything. But if you break it out on all subjects and you start with a 2 year and then a 4 year and then a 6 year, I think people would really, you know, gravitate for that.
And how would you select the people? They would have to be deep thinkers, don't you think?
Well, you know all the deep thinkers, don't you?
We know a few.
So, you'd get like a 20 years old would be maybe a university student, you know, and then 40 years old, somebody's working in the industry, 60 years old, you know, like a CEO, but every day it would be a different group, but then they would be like a different year. So like I say, you'd be, by the end of the week, you've went out 10 years, and like all your listeners are, you know, everybody's going to be here 10 years from now, and we're all curious as to what's going to happen, and this would be a building show, you know, so every week. And you wouldn't lose anybody because you're not targeting a narrow area. You're targeting a big area, so everybody would tune in to hear every year, you know, that show.
Okay. Thank you, Gene.
Yep. Yeah, bye.
For your creative suggestion. Roger in Reedsburg. Hi.
Hi. I thought a good show idea would be the UN's children's rights movement, where it basically gives the child overruling rights over the parents' decisions on how to raise them, essentially taking away the power of the parent and giving it to the child, you know, and how that can affect us in many ways, like the previous caller who was talking about manners and, you know, chivalry and stuff like that, how a child won't learn some of the basic necessities of being a well-mannered adult when he's able to just override anything his parents decide he should or shouldn't do.
And who's has that right? I'm not sure I'm following you.
It's the UN has, I can't think of the name.
The right to the child. I don't think they have to do with overruling parents, though, do they?
But, well, an example that I had recently read was how a child didn't want to go to church, and his parents made him go to church. And the country who has already agreed to this basically took the child from the home, saying that the parents were abusing the child by forcing him to go to church. And then through the court systems, told the parents that he can only go to church one day a week and for so many hours. So it kind of still gave some of the power to the parents, but the child
you know.
What country? I'm sorry, this is just way off the wall, I think. Where is this coming from?
I can't remember where I read it exactly, but I know it's being proposed and brought through the UN right now.
All right. Well, we could certainly look at the International Rights of the Child because there is such an entity. I really don't think that it covers the situation you were talking about, Roger, but I could be proven incorrect. That will do it for our program today. And wasn't it a delightful open line? Everybody was so polite and full of good cheer. It was kind of funny. Actually, I haven't laughed so much during an open line for, well, I can't remember when. In case you didn't get through, you can send us emails. Here are all of our addresses. Fanning, F-A-N-N-I-N-G, Pease, P-E-A-S-E, and Dunn, K-D-U-N-N-K. And we're all at WPR.org. Send us your brilliant suggestion whenever the brilliance strikes. Thanks to Chrissy Pease for doing on-air production. And thanks for listening.